You're listening to a podcast from 702.
So you might have seen yesterday or late last night a letter addressed to Mr. Cyril Qwaba, who is the co-chairperson of the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. And out of it flows a couple of things. It is from the president and it requests essentially two things. Firstly, the number of SANDF members deployed to assist the SAPS during the lockdown to be increased from the initial deployment of 2,820 members, and that number will now go up to a staggeringly high 73,180. And then secondly, the budget has been revised for the employment of members of the SAPS. Initially, around 600 million was reported, and this letter addressed to the Joint Standing Committee on Defence says that the revised expenditure is expected now to total around 4.6 billion. I am enormously grateful for the minister to always make time for you and me. It is her duty, but she is also, by her rights, able to platforms and get on with the normal course of her business. So I really am grateful that she's coming on bright and early to speak to you and me. Minister, good morning to you.
Good morning to the listener.
Rise and shine. You haven't even had breakfast yet. Welcome to the show.
Well, I'm on my way to work now.
Minister, let's get straight into it so that you can get on with the business of your own work. So initially, 2,820 members gets deployed. We see the president in camouflage gear saying, go and nudge the country. Good luck. This is an important humanitarian mission. Mm-hmm. Lo and behold, izolo, we see this letter now asking for 73,180 additional members. That's an entire army. What is the what is the operational purpose?
Thank you very much. I'm sure if you look at the numbers and the rate at which the infection has gone up, you will realize that at some point we may actually need the kind of human resource deployed which you've never seen before. Firstly, what we have seen in other countries and what we have heard from the professor last week is that we are likely to see an escalation of the numbers. We are likely to see the exponential curve around August, September. And what that means is that we need to tighten enforcement. Number two, we need to make sure that our people understand fully the dangers of getting this virus, and that people need to understand that the laws, regulations which have been put in place, they've simply been put in place to protect them. But beyond that, you need to understand the role of the Defence Force and the mandate of the Defence Force. Yes, it is the last line of the defence of the Republic of South Africa, of the defence of the people of South Africa. There are other areas where the Defence Force is being deployed. For instance, right now, we have a team of engineers which has gone out to build bridges which were due to later this year in areas of KwaZulu-Natal and areas, some areas in the Eastern Cape, pedestrian bridges, so that it makes it easy for people to move to clinics if they need help. But also you have an entity within the Defence Force called the South African Military Health Services, which under the guidance of the Department of Health will come in when the need arises. Right now they've been on standby. If there's any mass screening and testing to be done, we are hoping that the Department of Health will then rely on the skills that we have of medical professionals we have within the South African National Defence Force. This team also should look after members of the South African National Defence Force, because they are now, we have units which are in the front line which are supporting the police. And obviously they may be every now and then reported cases maybe of infection of when they are screened or even tested. So in that case, they go in and assist where there will be a time when this country will have massive hospitals, field hospitals. There will be a time like we've seen in other countries, maybe, God forbid, where we'll see numbers, high numbers of people dying. And I can assure you, at that point, the defense force will have to be carrying those bodies. They'll have to be innovative. They'll have to put up big mortuaries where the scores of people who shall have died will be kept. Mm-hmm. Like we have seen yesterday on TV, we saw a refrigerated truck, a big one in one of the countries, which they were using to ferry corpses to the cemetery. And we can't say we are not getting there. The doctor said, the professor said, we're not going to be able to run away from this. We are other people. We are a normal country like other countries. In fact, some of the countries have even better medical and health facilities than we have. So who are we to believe that what has happened in Italy or Spain will not happen in South Africa? It may as well happen. So we must be readily available as a defense force to deal with such incidents. So I'm just saying that broadly we have these doctors, we have psychologists, we have social workers who are going to be holding hands together with the Department of Health and the Department of Social Development at a time when people will be dying. Right now our death rate is very low, it's at 58, but we cannot stand out and say, well, we'll never get to where other countries have been to. I can assure you at that point, the people you are going to be needing to pick up those bodies, to go and bury them, it will be the members of the South African National Defence Force, because they are the ones who have a mandate of being deployed even without challenging the orders which you give to them.
That is fascinating and a very expansive role. This letter addressed to Mr. Klaba talks about cooperating with the South African Police Service Minister.
Yes.
If I've understood you and you've been crystal clear, the reason why you need such large numbers of SANDF members to be now ready and asking Parliament to approve that, which is why you're going to be speaking to the Joint Standing Committee on Defence to explain yourself, it doesn't sound to me like it is restricted to helping the SAPS with the existing regulations. This seems like a very comprehensive, already interministerial conversation that have taken place, including with the Department of Health and with the Department of Social Development and your other colleagues. Is that an accurate reading of what you are saying in terms of how expansive this role will be?
No, on enforcement of the law, as you have already seen, right, is what we have been doing in support of the police. But there are several other government departments which will require our support as the South African National Defence Force. Never mind that one of the most issues which have become very sensitive, it's people coming forward, calling and sending messages that we've not seen police, we've not seen the South African National Defence Force in our area. But we see people who are walking up and down. And so for all of those things, we have to be there to support the police, to help them to cope with the challenge which they are faced with. Not only that, the president the other day actually directed us that in the area of water, for instance, there are JoJo tanks everywhere, and we now have to go and put them up, install them, and assist the Department of Water Affairs and Sanitation. So it's a whole comprehensive, as you say, mandate, because that anyway is what you've seen in other countries, and that is what the Defence Force should do. In the event there were to be a crisis in our hospitals of shortage of medical personnel, you will expect that the South African National Defence Force will be readily available to take over that responsibility and be part of the medical professionals who are working in those hospitals.
That raises two questions, Minister, and we don't have to get into the minutiae now, but they're obvious questions, so I've got to flag them on behalf of citizens. The first is, and we'll take them each in turn, if we have a more expansive SANDF that is ready to serve in the multiple ways that you have articulated in the last 10 minutes, it raises a question of fitness to do all of the above. Whether to go in, as you've just said, in hospitals and to assist whether to assist with quote unquote picking up bodies, heaven forbid if we should get to that kind of scenario, whether it is to be able to help with testing. Those are not skills ordinarily that members of the SEPs have. Where will they magically get those skills from to be able to do that?
I thought I did say from the beginning, but we have four different services in the Defence Force.
Hmm.
You have the Navy, you have the Army, you have the Air Force,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the South African Military Health Services, an entity which deals with which has all medical professions within it, an entity which deals with all health-related issues within the South African National Defence Force. Now, you can't say when you have a crisis, you are going to be utilizing them strictly to look after the interests of the SANDF by way of looking after your members when they get sick.
Mm.
At this point in time, we are required to pull all resources out in the interest of the people of South Africa. So we do have the skills, we do have the know-how, and just as you were raising the matter of the skills, for instance, when we deploy to other mission areas, we always deploy and we always have together with us a mortuary kind of van. So when I make mention of that, it is not that we will be doing it for the first time. When the need arises, the South African National Defence Force will be there to build mortuaries and create mortuaries in areas where you don't have, where we may have, and I'm not frightening people, but I'm just dealing with reality because this is what I see in other countries, and it is likely that we see it here. We would pray that it doesn't happen. But in the event it were to happen, we must be ready.
Third last question, Minister. The government has been praised even by opposition parties and by critics that normally are a thorn in your side as a government for being led by data and by science. We haven't seen as yet the models that predict different scenarios, what the models say, which scenarios are very likely in the near future, which are possible but less likely, etc., etc., etc. I don't want to talk about maths models, but I do want to know, if you are requesting of Parliament to approve this ramping up of numbers of SANDF members and the budget that will go with it, what is the science that informs this decision in terms of predicting the kind of crisis that we may have on our hands that necessitate us getting the SANDF ready? It's great that you are worried about all eventualities, but obviously an eventuality must be a real prospect in order for you to ramp up this much. What data informs it?
What informs us is what we have firstly seen happening in other countries. In some countries which had the same numbers of infections initially, for instance, if you look at Egypt, right? We had the same numbers around the same time at some point. Today, they have a very high rate of mortality. Now, here in South Africa, we are still at 58. And everybody, including the World Health Organization, have come out in support of South Africa for the measures we have taken right at the beginning. Because in some areas, people did not quickly, for instance, lock down. People just allowed things to continue and continued to plan on the basis that, well, we may get there, we may not. But in our case, the president and the command council, from the beginning, took a decision that we've got to find a way of curbing the spread. And that curbing of the spread, that stopping of the spread of the virus, has assisted us to plan for an eventuality, to put all our ducks in a row so that in the event we were to get there, and we don't know why we would not get there, if other countries, some of them who are as highly developed and economically advanced, far way beyond South Africa, whose health system is well organized than ours, if they could get to a point where they had thousands of people dying, we don't see why it will not happen in South Africa. So based on the predictions of the professor, which are very scientific, that we might see an exponential curve around August, September, we've got to plan for it. Having seen what has happened in other countries where they were having hundreds of people dying in a day, we've got to prepare for that. If it doesn't happen in South Africa, thank God. But if it happens, we must not be caught with our pants down. We must not be caught napping. We must be ready for the challenge.
Second last question, Minister, is a process one. And it is not unimportant. Parliament is not in recess technically anymore. And that's why MPs are working. And we are delighted as taxpayers and as citizens that they are working, even if it is in an extraordinary way, virtually, for example, the same with government. Given that Parliament is operating, isn't it weird that the President has addressed this letter to Mr. Klaba rather than to the presiding officers?
No, actually, I think my understanding is I've seen a letter to the Speaker. I've seen a letter to the chairperson of the NCOP.
Hmm.
And I think it was an extraordinary measure which the President, generosity, that he sent a letter to the chairperson of the committee.
Hmm.
But otherwise, the people who are dealing with the issues who have sent the letters is the Speaker and the Chair for tabling to Parliament so that the Parliament is informed. But it's good that the President took the extraordinary step of sending the letter to the chairperson of the...
Okay, we'll check in with the presiding officer, Minister, because you say it's good that he's done it. Someone else might say, "Uya Papa, it is the job of the chair of the... It's the job of the presiding officers to do so."
You know what? When the situation is like this, you would like to make sure that everything is done and no one feels they are not in the loop, and everything should feel comfortable that the right things are done in the right way and proper decisions are taken, and that even your members of committee are well informed about what to expect and what they should be doing to support government.
And lastly, Minister, something that I know you care for, and you and I have spoken about it before. I want to play this clip while you and I have been chatting. There's a small Nyana comment from one of my listeners, but there's a big issue behind it, and I will give you a minute to respond to it. Let's just have a listen to this 19 seconds.
This is Mandy in Roodepoort. Please can you ask the Minister if she will ensure that the members of the South African National Defence Force who are tasked with this job understand that they are there to serve the people of this country, not to punish them. Thank you.
Now, I want to pad on to that before you respond, Minister. The military ombud will also appear before the Joint Standing Committee on Defence. One of the issues on the agenda is that upwards of 20 cases of alleged brutality and overreach of powers and abuse have been lodged. That is serious. You also know now that a case has been filed by family members of the late Collins Khosa, who allegedly had been tortured, allegedly at the hands of SANDF members in Alex. What do you want to say to the country that is worried about incidents thus far of alleged brutality on the part of the SANDF? And what is your official response to this constitutional court case that is underway?
Thank you. I won't respond to the constitutional case which is underway because, as you say, it's a matter in court. But what I would like to say is just to remind South Africans, right from day one, if not day two, of the deployment of the South African National Defence Force, I was on the screen there talking and addressing South Africans and addressing the members of the South African National Defence Force to remind them, one, about their mandate, but also to say there should be no excesses committed by the SANDF. But also, equally, as we look at some of the transgressions which may have been committed by the SANDF, we should also quickly look around at our own people, at our own children, how they are conducting themselves, the manner in which they are provoking the police and the police women and men, the soldiers, the metro police. It's unacceptable. There is no war being fought. The fight we are fighting is an invisible enemy who is extremely vicious. And if people are going to be making their point by coming out and doing things which they are not supposed to do at a time when the whole country is on lockdown, honestly, that's extremely provocative, and it doesn't take anyone anywhere. Because what we need to do now is to remain indoors, remain with our families, make sure that we don't contract the virus, we don't infect our loved ones. But now, if people are going to be everywhere, and I mean, I've seen a video, and no one talks about this video. I've seen a video of a community attacking a Metro Police woman, literally throwing her to the ground, kicking her on the ground. And I haven't heard South Africans criticizing that, condemning that act, because it was so wrong. It was right at the beginning, and they were unprovoked, by the way. Just to see the Metro Police woman, people decided to attack because they knew that the Metro woman was there to enforce the law. So much as I do not necessarily agree with transgressions committed by the South African National Defence Force members, equally, I would like to turn around to our people and say, this is for your own good, it's for your own benefit. We are not out there to enforce the law because this government is not a government which cares. We care. We are not a mean government. We worried about the possibility of a high infection rate in the country. And if you see Minister Mkhize is in all these provinces. Yesterday he was in the Eastern Cape. The Eastern Cape, which was amongst the provinces which had the least numbers, suddenly the numbers have risen. And you know the reason why? It is because the reason people don't want to comply with the regulations. Now, if you don't want to comply with the regulations which have been set, then we need to know that, in fact, we may as well have a longer lockdown. We're not helping ourselves because the rate of infection is spreading very fast.
The problem, Minister, is that we can play example table tennis the whole day. For every example of South African communities not respecting the law or our SEPs members and SANDF members, we also have videography of abuse, whether it be people being forced to do push-ups, whether it be someone having beer thrown over their head, inside their yard consuming alcohol, which is not unlawful at this time because you're not necessarily outside your yard or selling it. You can play example table tennis. And the case of Collins Corsa has just underscored that. And I agree with you, the rule of law is important.
But I don't want to comment about the Corsa issue. I think I've made my statement about that to say that obviously the government is concerned. However, I did say that matter is currently under investigation. It's being investigated by the police, SAPS. It's being investigated by the military police as well, and also the military ombud. And I would imagine that the military ombud, at the end of it all, will be able to account to South Africans through Parliament about the number of cases of abuse which have been lodged with them, but also where people have been found to have done wrong. They will be able, the law will then take its course.
Okay, but let's leave it there, Minister, because we need you to get to work. Your critique of the South African citizens who misbehave is fine. What I find, with all due respect, disappointing is that in responding to my very last question, 90% of your words were critiquing the citizens. I would prefer it to be 50-50. Can you say unambiguously that those rogue elements that exist, even if they're not the majority, that they disgust you and that the full might of the law will come down on any member of the SANDF that do not comply with the law?
You see, that's the problem, because when I started with my response to that question, I did make the point that I'm reminding South Africans about what I have said right from the beginning on the second day of the lockdown, but also recently after this case was reported to us, I did make a statement on behalf of the Department of Defense and on behalf of the government of the Republic of South Africa. I don't know now what more should people say or do to show to South Africans that we are, in fact, a caring government and that we are sensitive and that we're not a government which is there to abuse the human rights of people. We shouldn't be doing that. I've said this not once, not twice. So what I was saying to you was a reminder of what I have said before.
Minister, Thank you always for being generous with your time on the show.
Thank you.
And respecting the accountability role of media. All the best with your meetings this morning.
Thank you to the listeners. Please, thank you.